This special edition in-depth program on public safety is brought to you in part by Bates Funeral Home, Knoxville Raceway, McKay Insurance, Knoxville Farm and Home, Motor and Auto Group, Stan's Drywall, and Harold Trailer Sales. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you'd like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, the Knoxville Recreation Center, Precision Incorporated, Jeremy Dingaman Concrete, Pella Corporation, Edge of the Woods Raspberry Farm, Two Rivers Cooperative, Verduft Agency, and Pella Regional Health Center. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's it like to run a sheriff's office? In the ninth part of a 10-part series on public safety, let's go in-depth with Marion County Sheriff Jason Sandholt. So, Sheriff, when did you first know that you wanted to be a law enforcement officer?
I think it was probably at a very young age. My father was a state-certified peace officer. He was a park ranger for the Department of Natural Resources, and I used to ride with him quite a lot as a little boy. And I think just the... I'm guessing probably in grade school, junior high, just that attraction of dealing with people and helping people. When I was riding with my dad, I think that's when I knew.
And I know that your dad had a lot of influence on you.
He did. Yep, it was something that growing up as a park ranger, I grew up in a state park, and when your father's in law enforcement and kind of your idol, role model and different things, that led to it. I was probably a lot of times... maybe trying to be, or my parents tried to direct me in a different direction. Maybe when I went to Central, it was more going for pre-med. I always wanted to be a pediatrician if I wasn't in law enforcement. But the more I studied things, and actually right before I took the MCATs between my junior and senior year of college, it was kind of that realization. It's like, you know, yeah, I could make a lot of money maybe getting in the medical field, but it wouldn't truly be what I've always wanted to do since I was a little boy. And I talked to my parents about it and said, you know, this may kind of disappoint you, but I really want to get into law enforcement and follow in dad's footsteps. And that's what I did. And they were very supportive of me of that. My dad actually made the comment. He said, you know, if you enjoy what you're doing, you'll never work a day in your life or whatever. And I think that was good advice. And throughout all my years now, I truly feel like I haven't worked a day in my life. There's days that are wearing and different things, but I've always loved what I've done.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on public safety is brought to you in part by the Pella Hy-Vee, VHR Used Cars, Pella Police Department, Oskaloosa Fire Department, Goley Heating and Cooling, Shomo, Madsen, Humble Insurance in Prairie City, Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, and Indianola Memorial Works. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the podcast section at kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, McCoy True Value, Van Wall Equipment, Iowa Realty Knoxville, Pella Cooperative Electric, The Salem Connection, Chasing Dreams Tattoos, City of Pleasantville, Ulrich's Meat Market, Norm Rosendahl Tiling Incorporated, and Manny's Diner.
I continued my conversation with Marion County Sheriff Jason Sandholt. Tell us a little bit. A lot of people don't know how a sheriff's office is structured, and they might not know very much at all about the civil side. Can you just, you know, in a minute or so, tell us how the office is structured?
Yeah, we have a civil division that's up front that does a lot of the court paperwork, garnishments. They execute orders in regards from the court system. And then you have dispatch, obviously, that does the communication side, and then the jail, and then we have the patrol side. So that's kind of how the sheriff's office is broken out. But where it's unique to us is police departments a lot of times have maybe a dispatch center or the road side, but that civil area is mainly just, I mean, for those sheriff's offices.
And so how many employees?
We have just under 50 total for the office. So there's three up front that take care of the civil side of it, and they also help keep me organized and help me along with my daily duties and do a fabulous job.
Is it hard to manage that number of people doing such different things, the civil side, the jail, the road, the investigations?
I'm blessed. I'll tell you what, that one of the things that throughout leadership, I mean, and being in leadership at multiple different agencies or different things, when you have great employees that work for you, it makes that job of a leader so much easier. So, I mean, I'm blessed here at the sheriff's office that, I mean, it's not a big challenge when you have good quality people with good morals, ethics that are working for you. It makes that job a lot easier. If you have individuals that are employees that you struggle with, there's stress and it makes that job harder, but we're blessed here at the Marion County Sheriff's Office with great employees, and it makes my job a lot easier. And I have great, a chief deputy, my lieutenants, they all do a fabulous job also, I mean, on the management side. Michelle up in communications, Justin over the jail, I mean, Troy, I mean, helps out tremendously here at the office. So not only the kind of the boots on the ground employees that do a fabulous job, but also that intermediate supervisors.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on public safety is brought to you in part by Pella Precast Products, DeYoung Door Service, Peterson Tiling and Excavating, Pet Haven, Eden Crest at the Legacy, Steenhook Appraisal, Creative Landscaping, and the Sign Spot for Wraps. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you would like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Houston's on Main, The Downtown Diner, Jersey Freeze, Windsor Manor Assisted Living, Culver's Appella, Craig's Auto, Winfield Funeral Home, Randall Roofing, and Indianola Community Schools.
I continued my conversation with Marion County Sheriff Jason Sandhold. Have there been any special challenges during COVID times?
Yeah, it's hard not only for, I mean, us in law enforcement, but just the same struggles that you have, I mean, with the general public. I mean, work schedules. How do you deal with someone that would happen to come down with COVID in a correctional facility? We've had to really adapt and make some changes to keep not only our employees safe, but also the inmates back in the jail, per se. I mean, so it's definitely changed the way that we've done things. We've lowered our population in the jail. It used to be that people would come to jail maybe for some lesser crimes, some aggravated misdemeanors or the misdemeanor side of it. And we've changed kind of that structure on it to try to reduce and keep people safe, both back in the jail and in our office.
Yeah, I noticed that in the sheriff's report, going back to last March, all of a sudden, no arrests. And it was because they weren't violent criminals or the public wasn't in danger. It was something that could be put off, I presume.
Yes, and most definitely. And it's something that we still, there's the discretion, and we don't want, if it's something violent, like you mentioned, or somebody that needs to come to jail, we're still more than willing to bring them to jail and go through the protocols and everything that are there. But if it's a driving violation, if somebody's driving while suspended or revoked or different things, we've really tried to cite those people into court. We still take care of the issue, but not bring them in on, per se, a driving violation.
Well, is that making you reassess what you used to do, that maybe you shouldn't have done that before? Maybe that was something, and not just you, not just this department, all departments are probably reassessing that.
Yes, across the country, there's been different... it has been looked at, and it will continue to be looked at in regards to what truly how we do that. But ultimately, you still have to hold people accountable. I mean, it's just at what level of a crime, I mean, and what level of accountability is somebody just showing up for court a month and a half later? Is that truly holding them accountable, or are they going to drive again the next day and possibly kill somebody when they shouldn't be driving? And it's that balance. You really truly have to kind of look at, I mean, what is an effective deterrent from somebody breaking the law?
Well, it depends on the person, probably.
Yes.
I mean,
yep.
And so you take that into account?
We try to. It's not that we try to. We treat everybody fairly. I mean, but you have repeat offenders that you deal with. That it's like, I mean, people make mistakes. When people are continuously making mistakes or whatever, they're not getting it. And so, yeah, if it's something where we've dealt with somebody driving numerous times, driving while barred, I mean, sooner or later, even you're going to come to jail. I mean, it's we have to have that deterrent and want people to say, yeah, you know what, I shouldn't be driving now. Or, I mean, whether it be possession of drugs and different things, it's like, you know, it's just a little bit of weed. Well, that little bit of weed, maybe the next time's methamphetamine. Maybe after that, it's heroin. Maybe it's, you know, and so it's what is that deterrent to keep somebody from doing those illegal activities? And at what level is that? So it's always being reassessed. And and my staff does a great job. The other agencies here in Marion County, obviously, we're the jail for the PDs and stuff also. And they're making good decisions on who needs to come to jail and who's going to show up for court down the road and take care of what they did.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on public safety is brought to you in part by Lighton State Bank, Round Window Liquor, the Lemon Tree Tea House and Restaurant, Acura Healthcare, Kyle's Auto Repair, Norwalk Nursing and Rehab, Marion County Auto Body, All Plan Insurance, and Scholl, Shrum, McLaughlin & Company. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the podcast section at KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Christy Tarr American Family Insurance, Monarca, Jefferson Plaza Leasing, Vanderwall Insurance, Fizz, Pella Rental and Sales, and Vander Linden Services.
I continued my conversation with Marion County Sheriff Jason Sandholt.
Do you have a philosophy of how to deal with just the general public?
Treat everybody the way that you would want your mother, brother, father, son treated. When my staff, and that's, I'm like I said, I'm very blessed, but the deputies, what I'm probably the most proud about for the road guys is they're compassionate. They look at the whole big picture. They're not robots just for going out to write tickets. They look at people's intent. They look at what's going on with them. And they use their brains to figure out what is that best deterrent? What is the best situation here? And with that compassion, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, they're not very hard on crime. Don't get me wrong. I mean, my staff knows how to take care of business. If it's a situation where they need to deal with whatever it is, kicking in a door on a search warrant or going after a convicted felon, I mean, they're fabulous. And that compassion isn't a weakness. It's a balance of, I mean, I'd put my guys up against anybody, you know, whether it be physically fit or taking care of business or effecting an arrest. But they also are wise enough to know that, I mean, you have to use your brains, not only your brawn. I mean, and they're very good about knowing that.
Are there any special challenges that you all are facing that we in the general public might not know about?
I think, obviously, I hope that, you know, you always look at the way that law enforcement is, I mean, being treated. And what I guess it's been probably about 26 years ago now, I got into law enforcement, somewhere around there. And 26 years ago, as a state law enforcement officer, I mean, I was treated completely different. I mean, on the respect level, the appreciation, and things have changed. You know, we were before the interview started here, you and I were just kind of talking about the perceptions of law enforcement and how that is, and there's still a lot of great people. We're blessed here in Marion County because there is still that appreciation for law enforcement. But I talked to my counterparts that are sheriffs in some of the big metro areas, and the lack of respect and the way that they're treated, I mean, and categorized. I mean, it's like, you know, there's bad individuals in all professions. And it's sad that law enforcement has kind of over the last, however many years, been kind of labeled. I'd probably say the last 4 to 6 years. I mean, it's changed on the way the perception of law enforcement. And it's kind of like the assumption that there's tons of bad cops out there. There's not. I mean, especially here in Marion County, we are very, very blessed. And whether it be myself or the police chiefs, so we all hold our staffs accountable for their actions. And but that's been a challenge, because it's with that perception and that the way that people have been labeled, it makes it difficult doing the job and recruiting. I mean, when it used to be, we'd have 50 people applying for one job type of a deal, and we'd get the interviews down to 15 to hire one. So a lot of people now are starting to look at, why would I get into law enforcement? I mean, why would I if I want to serve the public and help people, a firefighter versus a police officer right now, I mean, you have a lot of people gravitating towards that firefighter position or different things, and versus that the law enforcement side, because of the way people have been labeled.
That's sad.
It is sad.
I see you all work. I see all the departments work. I've seen you guys and gals in all kinds of difficult circumstances. And I've seen the courage. I've seen the strength. I've seen the power. I've seen the commitment. But I've also seen the compassion at a car wreck and a fire. It's just, I guess I'm editorializing, and I normally don't like to do that. But, well, I never like to do that. But people here, law enforcement here, I don't know. I guess I'm just agreeing with you, and it's sad. And I hope that times change.
Thank you for that. And I really think they will. I mean, even my new deputies, when I bring them on, or anybody, for example, even back in the jail or different things, it's like, you know, we have to remind staff a lot that we do it for 90% of the people that you never hear anything from. That's why we do the job. That you may never hear anything from that 90%. It's not the vocal 10% that are criticizing every action or different things. We do it for the vast majority, and we want to keep recruiting and bringing on good people to do the job. Because what my fear is just like we talked about, you know, if you my son, for an example, is trying to decide what he wants to do for a living, and we talk about it, and I don't want to discourage him from getting into law enforcement. I mean, if that's truly what he wants to do, because we need good people. And no matter who it is, you can't discourage good people from wanting to get in the profession, because right now we're going through hard times. Because you ultimately, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years down the road, you need good people in the profession. And so even though it's hard right now, we need to keep encouraging and looking at the positive, bright side of things, that, you know, it's a cycle. And right now, I mean, we may be getting beat up pretty hard as a profession, but hopefully that tide will turn. And like I said, we're blessed here in Marion County compared to a lot of places, but I hope the tide turns nationally. I hope that, you know, that respect and that appreciation comes back in those metro areas or in other states or other areas that we have here in Marion County. I hope someday they have that same appreciation, because we're blessed here.
Thanks to Sheriff Jason Sandholt for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, Contact KNIA KRLS by sending an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIA KRLS.